Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and you know who I got here, my trusty friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Yeah, I was talking about you.
pleased to hear
All good things, though.
it.
Well, my friends, I think we're going to have some fun tonight. I just feel it in my bones. Some real fun coming on. We're down there by the Mississippi, and I just saw one of those paddle boats go by. And I think Huck Finn was on there painting fences on the side, watching it go by. Let me tell you something that I think is really cute. You know, if you listen to us, that you guys send in a list of names. And we go over the names every week, and somebody comes forth that's on that list, puts their hands up, and says they want to be here. Well, this week it was a little different. I was sitting watching a movie, The Prince and the Pauper, and that movie is based on something that was written by Mark Twain. And so we're putting the CD or the DVD right into the old set, you know, and here pops up Mark Twain. I just thought it was so funny. I thought I was going to fall off the chair. He said he wants to be on the show. He's got some funny yarns to tell us. And when Richard sent out the mail about the show today, he also included a little website there giving some facts about Mark Twain. And he was a humorist who had a lot of funny stories to tell, yarns to tell. And so I'm really looking forward tonight. I'm ready to laugh. Are you guys ready? I hope so. Now, Richard, I know Mr. Twain is standing right next to you because he's over here tapping me on the shoulder. And for those of you who have been with us before, what I would like for you to do is, if you have a picture of Mark Twain, see him in the third eye, call forth his name. And as Richard tells you about the energy he feels when he connects with Mr. Twain, you might be able to feel it too. And it's a real good way. Have our cup of coffee over the round table and connect with one another. Richard, what are you feeling, dear?
His energy is, I experience it quite differently from perhaps anyone else that I've connected with. There is this quite broad experience of energy from left to right. And my sense is it reflects this breadth of the individual. There was that intellectual aspect of him, his interest in the sciences and so on. But also there was great insight, wisdom, understanding, compassion. And so it's not really what I would call a focused energy in the way that many that have come forth have been a very almost singular expression of love at times. It's not like that. And I'm not saying the energy is without love, because compassion is really a form of love. But this breadth is most unusual. It's quite strong, but in a way it encompasses the things that I spoke about. And you may begin to get a sense from, if you've listened to a few of these, that in a sense the energy is a reflection of the, you might say, the personality, though that's a bit simplistic, but the nature of the soul, I guess, that came forth that embodies these characteristics. Very interesting.
That's beautiful. And he said he had a, well, he said he was going to spin some yarns, but I assume, first of all, he's got a message. What do you think?
Let's see what he has to say. My dear friends, it is an honor to come forth in this manner. I, in my lifetime, had the opportunity to speak to many people, not just through my books, but indeed through my my lectures, my presentations to many groups. You might say I was one of the first stand-up comics because I not only shared my views on things to many in that kind of public forum, but also my humor as I saw it, my insights coming forth in a humorous way. And so in my lifetime, I had the opportunity to speak to many people, but never when I was alive did I ever consider the possibility that I would come forth in this manner and speak to people once more. And so what you may not realize is that when there is the kind of connection that Carolyn spoke of, where she was watching the movie based on my writings, that moment, that experience, that connection with the movie opens a door. It opens a connection to me and indeed to any other soul that has a connection with the thoughts of an individual. And so it opens a door to those of us on the other side. And this is what occurred. And so I took that opportunity to connect with Carolyn in the way that she mentioned. And so I appreciate the opportunity to come forth in this manner. Most people remember me for perhaps the two of my most famous books, and I am humbled that those books continue to resonate with people today, even though they do run into some flack, you might say, because I use words such as nigger, which of course has become politically incorrect, even though it was a term that was in wide currency in my time and especially in my youth. And so I simply reflected the language of the time. Yet in this crazy world that you live in, which has in some ways become even crazier than when I was present, the use of these words is no longer acceptable, even though there is an understanding of the context in which they came forth. And whilst most people remember me for these two books, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, these two books were but a small part of my life in reality. I had a great interest in the affairs of my fellow man, you might say, and to an extent I sought to express that through my writings. But more than this, I had an interest in the way the political processes worked in the world. And in my earlier days, I was a great supporter of America acting to bring freedom to other countries as I saw it. And then with the war in the Philippines, I realized that in fact America was not acting to free anyone. They were actually acting to subjugate the Filipinos, that they would in a sense become slaves in their own country as a result of this so-called war of liberation. And so I became very critical of those imperialist activities, whether they be by the United States or indeed any other country. And as I have watched your world, I have seen the willingness and preparedness of America in particular to act in this manner. But I have also come to understand that it is not America acting alone. And indeed, there are many other countries that participate in these processes at this time. And I have come to recognize, as I know many of you listening to me tonight have come to understand, that there are those behind the scenes that seek to have those with the power to do so, to subjugate other countries, to subjugate other peoples, to bring them into what you might consider the fold of the Western countries, to serve their interests, and in a sense, to serve the agenda of what you refer to as the cabal, the group behind the scenes. And so I have watched the growth of this, what I would have termed in my time, imperialist behavior, because it has grown markedly in the 100 or so years since I left the planet. And it, on one level, saddens me, and yet I also recognize the time that is present, you might say, the transition which awaits humanity in the very near future. And I have watched things closely enough to understand that this imperialist behavior was an essential part of this time of preparation. At the time I was present on the planet, I had no understanding that there was this, what you term, cabal behind the scenes running things. And I now understand this, and I also now understand that this group at the heart of this cabal were the same group that were those dark priests in Atlantis. They are the same souls, or at least they share the same monads, and have come forth and have been given the opportunity to correct their ways, and perhaps unsurprisingly, they have not done so, and indeed have played out a very similar agenda using the tools of today, seeking to control humanity. And I recognize that they will fail in their endeavors, and need to fail in their endeavors, for their cycle, you might say, to be completed. And so that is unfolding in your world, and if you are not already aware of this, it is time for you to look at the evidence, because it is indeed abundant. And so on one level it saddens me to see this imperialist behavior unfolding in the way that it has done, its intensification, most particularly by the United States. However, I now recognize it as a stepping stone to the liberation of humanity. And so ultimately it is an experience of joy on my part, because I see the transition that awaits you all. And so I wanted to come forth and to give you my perspective, you might say, in regard to these transitions that are gathering momentum in your world. Because, in a sense, those forces that were at work in my time really were the precursors to what is now in place in your world. So much of the, what I term, imperialist behavior was justified on the basis of Christianity, which, as you would now recognize, was really the excuse of those in power and control to decimate the cultures and the belief systems of other groups of of humanity around the world. It was done in the name of Christianity, and I do not need to spell this out for you, because you can witness it very clearly. And in the United States example, of course, there were the American Indians, and in a sense, those who were enslaved and brought to this country were subjected to it in a somewhat different manner. But nevertheless, their cultures and their beliefs and their spiritual practices indeed were subjugated by the agenda of the European whites, who indeed became those in power in the United States, as you would understand it. And so it is important to acknowledge this agenda, to see it for what it is and what it has been for not just the last tens of years, but indeed for many centuries, indeed for all of the time since the fall in Atlantis some 13,000 years ago. It is important to understand this because it is for the most part hidden below the surface and packaged in a manner that most people don't recognize. So, in many ways, I have come to realize that I was, in the latter part of my life, adopting a very similar posture to many of you who stand for these changes and who stand for the, you might say, destruction of the power and the practices of the United States and its so-called allies in this process of subjugation and destruction. So I feel a great affinity with you all. And as I said, I did not understand it at the time, and yet the same motivations, the same questioning, the same realizations were coming forth for me in my time as they have been for you. And so, as I said, I feel this great affinity for this time and for those of you that are, you might say, leading the charge in these changes, because in my own way, I too was leading the charge in resisting these imperialist practices. So these are the words that I wished to share with you, to share with you my support for what you are doing and what is beginning to unfold, because it truly is a special time on the planet, as you will understand as the next few months unfold. And so it is.
Thank you, Mr. Twain. First of all, I would like to invite those in the audience who might have questions for our guests to please call in and with your questions that are readied. And while we're waiting, I have a few questions for you, Mr. Twain. I was intrigued with something that you said in the very beginning of your discussion when we watched the movie, The Prince and the Pauper, that a door opened between me and you. I don't know if you can give us more information about that, but I think our listeners would like to know about these doorways that open between people on this side of the veil and your side of the veil. Can you add something to that?
If you examine the process that you teach people in your right brain magic work, where you encourage them to take an image that they associate with a particular individual and place that in their third eye and then speak that individual's name, this indeed is a formalized way of opening that door. And it carries a structure to it that you probably do not understand. It carries an energetic vibration that opens, as I said, a doorway, a connection. Not only does it send out a call, but it enables the call to be completed, you might say. And so, when somebody is thinking about an individual on the other side, it opens that door. And it may not be that you are thinking about that individual, but indeed you might be thinking about their work in some manner, which in a sense is what happened with you and I when you were watching that movie, because you were aware that the movie script was based on one of my books. And so I cannot practically describe it in a more meaningful way than I am doing here, but simply to say to you that when an individual thinks of someone on the other side, they send forth some level of energy which makes a connection of some sort. And the process that you encourage people to use, which is that image and the name, this is a very powerful call that goes out and a very powerful process by which to open up that channel, you might say, that pathway by which this connection can be made. And it is a powerful invitation to the being on the other side that is almost irresistible. And you have seen this in your own work. When you call forth someone in this manner, they are always there. And indeed, that is always true when anyone does this. The simple question is whether that individual is aware enough, has awakened these skills and abilities sufficiently to experience that connection and to respond. That is the only issue at stake here. It is not a matter of whether that makes the connection, because I assure you it does. And so this is done in many ways, in many forms, through, as I said, the simple process of thinking of an individual on the other side. And that may be enough if the individual that is thinking about them is sufficiently aware. And you have experienced this many times in your own work as you have been considering issues, considering an individual and so on. Someone that you have worked with before or an expression of consciousness with which you are familiar comes forth to make themselves known. Yes, I recognize it is not the only circumstance in which this arises for you, but you do not recognize that you personally have many, many connections that are already in place that simply are activated at the appropriate time by the individual or the individual expression of consciousness that comes forth to connect with you. I know this is a very comprehensive answer in a way that may confuse some, but it is important to recognize the power of this seemingly very simple process that you teach to people.
Thank you, Mr. Twain. I really brought forth that question so that the people who are listening, either live or listen to this recording, will make note of this and start to have faith in their ability to connect with those that they love on the other side. Now, I would like to perhaps discuss something that is related to this, and that is prosperity. And prosperity takes many forms. It could be calling friends into your circle. It could be calling forth money to pay bills or any number of things that people consider abundance and prosperity. Now, do you have an opinion about how one calls prosperity into their lives?
It is difficult for humanity in general to accept the power of their intentions and their beliefs. If you believe that you can call prosperity into your life, and you trust that it is so, and you indeed call it into your life, then it will flow into your life. And yes, there are some issues which can compromise it, and it is something you teach in your work. However, for the most part, these processes rely powerfully upon belief and the use of these processes. And so they definitely work, and abundance, as you say, can come in many forms. In my own experience, if you have read my history, you might say, you will see that I declared bankruptcy. And yet I was searching for prosperity in a financial sense in my life and was willing to look very broadly and was very open to it coming in any manner it would come. And I knew I could bring it into my life. I trusted that truth. And indeed it came through guidance and assistance of a very wealthy individual who became a close friend. And he taught me some different approaches, and indeed he brought his own personal disciplines to my own life until I cleared my debts. And so, yes, you might say my prosperity came as a result of my own hard work through the lectures that I gave and many other things. But in truth, the doorway through which that abundance came was really my friend who took me under his wing, you might say, and helped me master some of the personal disciplines that were necessary for me to be able to take care of my financial situation. And so prosperity or abundance can be expressed in many forms on many levels, as you say, and it can involve many things, simply the things that an individual wishes to bring forth into their lives. And I will acknowledge that your ability to do this carries some level of restriction today compared with what it will be like beyond that ascension event in your near future. But really today, especially those who have cleared their past life karmic energies, can do this with great freedom and ability unless there are mission limitations, you might say, that involve restriction or, you might say, suffering from a financial perspective by the individual, because this is something else which bears upon the ability to bring these things forth. So I do not want to get too deeply into all of this. Rather, I would like to say that the issues of faith and belief and intention using these tools are so powerful. If you use intention but you do not trust that you can bring these things forth, that they can work for you, then they won't, because that is the nature of things. But if you believe they can work and you use intention to specify what it is that you wish to see come forth in your life, then indeed, in most circumstances, it is exactly what will occur.
I appreciate your thoughts on that, and I'm sure our listeners do also. And yes, we do use this in our work. We just love it. That's why I wanted to bring it to the attention of the audience. Now, let's take a little turn in another direction, Mr. Twain. I want to talk about humor and spinning yarns. You seem to have been a grand individual to do both of these. And I would like to say that my sense of it is sometimes we can just be too serious and not lighthearted and enjoy life. So give me some sense of where you were in this. Were you born a humorous person, or is this something that can be learned? How does one spin a good yarn?
Firstly, I believe that a soul comes forth with that predisposition. And part of bringing that predisposition forth is the structuring of the mind. If you will, the mental body carries threads of this. So, in a sense, one is born to it, but you can also learn it. It is a craft. And it is something that I was gifted with, but also practiced, so that I could use humor as a powerful tool. Firstly, when you bring humor to a situation, you immediately transform the energies of it. You can bring things forth powerfully, but when you encapsulate them in humor, then you can bring them forth in a manner which people will be more willing to accept. And it disarms their defenses, because it is what humor does. It causes people to drop their defenses in the face of good humor. And so it is such a powerful tool. And it is such a powerful way to tell a story. If you wrap it in humor, people are engaged by it and listen to it from a different perspective. And they are looking out for the next line, you might say, the next piece of humor. And so it engages people. It draws people in, not only when you write, but also when you speak. And so I came to understand this, and I understood my natural predisposition to the use of humor, plus my insights into the human condition and my empathy and compassion with people. And when you marry all these things together and bring those insights and understandings forth with humor, then people find it irresistible. And I was blessed with a number of people in my life that gave me a little guidance in some key areas of how I might use these tools. And so I was able to use them with great success in my life.
That's marvelous. Thank you. It's good to know that we all come in with a predisposition towards humor. I say, bring it on. Now, something along those lines. People are very familiar with two of your books, but a lot of your writings have been lost because they were live speeches given, or they weren't written down in some manner. And if, as you look over this vast amount of work that you brought forth, give us, if you can, some idea of what your favorite work was and why did it tickle your funny bone, so to speak.
Perhaps my favorite piece of work was my work with Huckleberry Finn, because it captured so much of that, in a way, simple life and yet not so simple life. The interweaving of the living of life with the humorous interactions and aspects of it. And I was able to tell a story, to spin a yarn, and to entertain in a manner that perhaps I never matched in any other of my work. So I perhaps would consider that to be my favorite because of how it engaged people. In many ways, I do not consider it my most important work, because I later in my life became more interested, as I indicated, in the issues of politics and indeed the progression of humanity. And so my efforts in that regard I consider to be more important on a level. But in terms of my effectiveness and my ability to add to people's understanding and experience, then Huckleberry Finn is my benchmark.
Thank you. Changing gears a little bit, I noticed that in your lifetime, it seems that you were good friends with Mr. Tesla, Nikola Tesla. Can you give us some thoughts about how the two of you, you know, on what level you communicated with? I suspect that you must have been greatly interested in his work. So can you give us some thoughts along those lines?
He and I became close friends. I had developed an interest in innovation from a very young age. I developed this interest in new technology, you might say, new creations that could impact the human experience. And indeed, there was that entrepreneurial spirit within me that liked to see new ideas brought forth and applied for the benefit of humanity. Nikola Tesla was a fascinating individual, as your historical records show. But they do not perhaps share the empathy of the man. He has been portrayed as being a little perhaps pompous and a little self-absorbed. But really, in my experience, this was not the case. He chose to seek to publicize his work in a manner that I did not necessarily support. And so this led to some public perceptions of him that I would not consider to be accurate. He was a very sensitive and caring individual, and perhaps I was one of his closest friends. I spent a great deal of time with him when he was working and when he was trying to figure out how to move his extraordinary understandings forward in the world and bring them forth. Both he and I now understand from from the place where we now look at these things that indeed it was never really intended that what he was doing would come forth at that time. It was, like so many efforts upon earth, an attempt that was in a sense doomed to failure for the reasons that I have indicated earlier, the control and domination of those who wished to dictate the circumstances of humanity. However, neither of us were aware of that at the time, and so it was in many ways a time of great despair for Tesla as he struggled with these things and sought to find a way to bring these things forth. But the man was very sensitive and an extraordinary intellect, and I can indeed confirm those stories that shared that he was able to design a machine and to run it in his head and to see where it would fail and to fine-tune the design. Quite an extraordinary ability, and I can attest to the truth of that. So we were indeed close friends, and I was honored that he would consider me a friend as I considered him to be so.
That's beautiful. Thank you. It seemed that Mr. Tesla had many documents, drawings, that he put information down to paper, and that seems to have been lost, or shall I say stolen. Do you have any idea of where that work exists now?
Most of his papers were taken by those associated with what you might consider the government, or perhaps more accurately, the forces behind government. And indeed, much of the work that he was focused upon was pursued in one form or another by those forces. And of course, the HAARP technology is an example of this. But there were many others. And quite a number of these have been brought forth into technology which is hidden from humanity in general. So very little of that work was lost in a true sense, though it was indeed lost to any benefit it might have brought forth for the public.
Thank you. Is it fair to say, Mr. Twain, that you and Mr. Tesla are watching events today unfold that has to do with this technology?
We are watching events as they unfold, and indeed we remain in close contact on this side. And we are aware of the work that is being brought forth by Mr. Keshe through his foundation. And whilst there is, in a sense, some similarity, the work that is being brought forth, the understandings and the knowledge that Keshe is bringing forth go way beyond the understandings that Tesla had. And Tesla is very willing to acknowledge this, and Keshe also makes the point about the difference between the two. And so, in a sense, you might look at the technology that Keshe is bringing forth as being the step on from the work that Tesla was doing. And indeed, it is a step on in other ways also, because Keshe has positioned himself, indeed he was guided to position himself, to be independent of any financial dependencies. He developed a separate career which was very successful and which funded the initial phases of his work, so that he has no financial dependence upon anyone. And similarly, he has no ties to any government. And so these things were planks that were put in place as he came forth, though he does not understand it on a conscious level, because he is very focused on bringing forth the technology that is his to bring forth, and he is executing and fulfilling his mission as it was intended. And so we watch with great interest as this unfolds.
Thank you. Is it fair to say that when people come to Earth who are, in a sense, carrying on the same kind of work or similar work, that there is a possibility that souls get together and work on this before they incarnate? And would you agree with that?
There are very few accidents in the world. There are very few things that occur that are not thoroughly planned, not only by an individual soul, but indeed by souls getting together before they ever incarnate. And so most of the interactions, most of the partnerships of any type that are formed in life are planned ahead of time. And these are personal relationships or partnerships, and they can be intellectual partnerships or business partnerships. So indeed, that pre-planning is how things are done. It is not an occasional thing that might happen, but indeed it is the way things are done. It is commonplace. As I said, the chance event indeed is very rare.
Thank you. Appreciate your answer. And is there some truth to the fact that perhaps those that planned these events on your side particularly, send thoughts and ideas to those who have incarnated on Earth working on similar projects? In other words, do they have, in a sense, the guy in the back room giving some help?
Certainly they have the guy in the back room giving help. However, for the most part, that guy in the back room, as you call it, is the individual's monad. And more specifically, their higher self and perhaps their soul. Both of these are guiding every individual much more than they realize. And so it is, to a large degree, what drives the implementation of the lifetime on Earth. There is much more interaction, there is much more guidance, there is much more prompting than most people even begin to imagine. And it is in place for everyone. The only question is whether they have some awareness of it or not.
Well, I do believe in these things myself. And I appreciate you bringing this information forth so that people can hear this. If someone is more open and aware to these things, it can benefit their life so much more. I feel would be of a great help for people to listen to this and put into motion trying to access the help that is being given them. So in regards to that, accessing this help from the other side, if someone wants to do this, to access help from the other side that could be forthcoming, what would your advice be to them? Where would they start?
The first place to start is your intuition. It is the guidance signal that every individual has. The way your education system has been set up and many other things, the so-called scientific process and the focus on this has been intentionally set up to discourage people from acknowledging their intuitive guidance. But really it is there for everyone, and the more that people open themselves up to this and to act on the subtle urgings, the subtle promptings that come forth within the intuition, this is above all else the most important thing to do. And the more you act upon it, the more you will trust that guidance, and the more you will be willing to take not just small steps as a result of it, but quite large ones. And so, in general terms, this is what I encourage people to focus upon, trusting your intuition.
Thank you so much for your thoughts. We're getting very close to the end of the show. I have to say, an hour goes by rather quickly. And taking into consideration some of the topics that we have touched upon tonight, intuition, working, understanding that you have help from the other side, trying to connect with it, trying to absorb your guidance. Are there any other messages that or thoughts that you might want to bring before our audience before we finish this lovely and wonderful conversation with you?
Perhaps the one thing I would say that I have not brought forth strongly is to encourage people to act, to take action in regard to the things they feel strongly about, to engage your passions, to step into the things that you are drawn to in life. Again, this has a close connection to intuition, but it is more than that. Because the things that you are passionate about, the things that draw you in life, are almost certainly things that you have a predisposition towards when you have come as a soul. And I know in my own life, it took me some time to begin to engage what clearly was something that I had agreed to do and come forth and express in my life. And so I encourage all of you to not only follow your intuition, but follow your passion, to engage the things that you want to do. So many people, it seems to me, as I observe them in life, have made choices based on the influences of others, whether it be parents or teachers or whatever, other individuals of influence in their lives, rather than trusting what they feel drawn to. And so this would be my piece that I would add, if you will, follow what you feel passionate about, because that is where you will find satisfaction in your life. That is where you will find fulfillment. And so many people feel they should take care of their financial situation through a traditional working role, a job of some sort, because it is seen as being more secure. But what is interesting is when you follow your passion and you are willing to be open to how the necessary prosperity will come forth in your life as a result of that, you will be amazed by how these pieces can come together so that you can follow your passion and also be successful in a financial sense in life.
Mr. Twain, thank you so much for all of the insights that you have brought to us and our audience. We enjoyed so much having you come and discuss these things with us. We thank you. And I also wish to comment on Richard and his devotion and his work in bringing this information forth. I know only too well the energy that it takes to do this and the toll upon the physical to bring this forth. So I thank the two of you and bless you.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Richard, we have maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and perhaps you might want to talk about some project that we're working on presently.
Well, I mentioned last week that we have been beginning to do the first of the Soul Origin and History readings, and they are proving to be quite extraordinary. We have just been working on finishing the second of those just the last few days, and the content is just extraordinary what comes forth in these. The other thing that is fascinating that's coming forth at the moment is some material that Carolyn has been bringing forth through the Yeshua newsletters. And what has been coming forth through a series of these is an extraordinary picture of what unfolded in Atlantis and what led to the fall and so on. And the detail of it and the understandings coming forth from it are incredible. It's just amazing material. And I suspect it will be followed by some further installments that cover the processes that await us, that in fact involve, if you will, the return to the kind of levels that humanity was on before that fall. It is quite a fascinating collection.
Yes, it has been remarkable, hasn't it? So, Richard, we are winding up for the night. It really has been fun, hasn't it?
Truly.
Anything
and so thank
you
for your thank you for your contribution, Carolyn, in setting this up, in structuring it, in being open to Mark Twain knocking on your door and preparing these questions to guide his responses.
I do like to answer knocks on the door, don't I?
You do. You never resist them. In fact, you accept the knocks on the door on my behalf, which is the funny bit.
It really is funny. If somebody wants to connect with you, they knock on my door and I say, "Hey, Richard, somebody's here talking to you," and tell you who it is. I love it. That's called teamwork.
Something like that. Maybe I'm just a little deaf or something. It's very funny.
No, I think what it is you're so focused on the work that you do. You are exceptionally focused. You've got a project to do and you just hone in on that project and get it done. Don't bother me, spirits. I got something here I want to do. Yep, I got one hand up in the sky just with my little net catching them.
Indeed you do.
Anyway, until next week, friends, it has been joyous. We'll have another event next week. Love you all. Good night for now.
Good night, Carolyn. Good night, everyone.